Welcome to the Co-Movement Gym Podcast. This week, we are talking with Mazar Fuentes Ortega. Mazar is the owner of OPEX Gym in Montreal. OPEX Montreal opened its doors in 2013 and empowers individuals to reach their peak potential in various facets of life, be it functional strength, weight management, martial arts, or gymnastics. Under the tutelage of James Fitzgerald, Mazar clinched consecutive qualifications for the CrossFit Regionals and completed the OPEX Coaches Certification Program. Additionally, Mazar is a purple belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and was named 1998 and 2000 Gymnastics Athlete of the Year in Canada. He has a degree in mechanical engineering with a specialization in biomedical engineering from Dalhousie University. The Co-Movement Gym Podcast is sponsored by Native Path Supplements, Lombardi Chiropractic, and A Dog's Day Out Doggy Daycare. Mention this podcast or use the promo code in the episode description for a nice discount on us. Mazar, welcome to the podcast, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Josh. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So you and I have a long history together. We started out with James Fitzgerald back in, for me, it was, I think, 2005, 2006. You're still connected with James and OPEX and OPEX Montreal. I just recently did a survey with our listeners and our audience, and I wanted them to submit questions to me with things that they wanted to get answers to, or at least guidance on. And so I compiled a list of these questions, which we're going to go over today. And I was thinking, who can I have as a guest to dive into these? And you were the first guy I thought of. So here we are. Thanks for joining me.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
Okay, so let's get into it. First one, client asked, how do you stay disciplined and motivated with your health and fitness goals?
Great question. I go back to the why. You know, why are you doing this thing? Why it's so important? You know, it's important to be honest with yourself and really put up a mirror in front of you. And I mean, if it helps to have that accountability of a coach and asking those hard questions. For example, my favorite one is the weight loss question. You know, okay, I want to lose weight. And I'm like, okay, why? You know, well, you know, I'm feeling a bit chubby and, you know, okay, but why? What's the actual reason behind it? You know, either because they tried something, you know, I don't know, going upstairs and they were out of breath and they realized that, you know, look, this is unacceptable. You know, what if you, for example, one of my friends, her daughter broke her leg. And at school, they have like four stories. So she needed to climb four stories to get to her class because they didn't have an elevator. And basically, that's where she realized the importance of her physicality. Is that, can I actually carry my girl, my daughter, up to four flights of stairs? You know, why? Because she broke her leg. That's just an example, random. But it could have been, you know, can I run with my luggage because my flight is, you know, in 2 minutes and I might get beat. And, or, you know, as simple as because I've been bullied, I've been told that I'm fat and, you know, it's, you know, going into my self-esteem. So those are things that, you know, when I'm not there as a coach, when I'm not, you know, supervising you, because I'm not going to be in front of you going like, oh, you need to eat that carrot instead of that donut. That's not the point. You know, once you understand the nourishment aspect of what your body actually needs, it's not even a burden. Now it's a liberation because you're actually in line with, okay, I want to lose weight. I don't know how to take care of myself. I've never learned how to nourish myself. I've never learned how to move. And I mean, those things are the actual key point of keeping me, I was going to say, in line, or keeping me checked in and realizing too that it's a learning process. I mean, I'm not perfect. I do enjoy, you know, I was going to say some ice cream and a beer here and there. You know, and I realized that, you know, yes, it's part of, I guess, my background, and maybe it's not every day, but, you know, there's space there and there's some freedom of, okay, what's going on my daily basis. So.
Yeah. So let's go deeper into what you had said with finding their why, because that's a big topic in and of itself. And I think a lot of people don't accurately define that. And that's even if they do define it or try to define it. So for me personally, like when I define a why, it's something that excites me and motivates me. And if it doesn't, then I have to maybe search deeper into the root cause of why I'm searching for that. You know, so can you give us an example? Well, you already gave us two with those clients, but any more insight into the process of how a client finds their why? Because we get so many people that come in that are that weight loss client, or they say they want to get stronger, right? They're generalized. And I do dive deeper into the questions around those goals. But what process do you go through with sort of getting to the true, truthful answer?
Yeah, I mean, this is where it's part of the conversation. It's part of the relationship we have with that person. For example, my most interesting one is particularly females. Or let's remove the female, but when a goal is, I want to get lean, I want to get lose weight, but I don't want to get bulky. Mm-hmm. So basically, you want to lose weight, you want to lose fat, you want to be lean, but you don't want to be bulky. So you want to lose fat and you don't want to gain muscle. So how can you be lean? And I'm like, to me, it's like, it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to get lean, okay, I need muscle mass. You know, yes, I need to lose some fat, but prior, if I want to show my muscle by being lean, I need to have muscle. And honestly, that's where I love a part of the assessment, part of the process, where we take each client where, okay, let's remove emotion and let's put numbers, as in let's do a body composition. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I know my weight. Now I know my lean body mass. Now I know my fat mass. Now I can actually connect even better with what I'm trying to understand, because sometimes it's a lack of knowledge or lack of, know-how. And now they, you know, sometimes it's trends. Okay, I need to lose weight. I need to lose 10 pounds. 10 pounds of what? Mm-hmm. If you're a female, you're 130 pounds and you want to lose 10 more pounds, you're 120. And when was the last time you were 120? You know, if you're a 50-year-old female, it's when you were a teenager. You know, is that realistic? If you had kids, if now you're like in your premenopause, now we're talking about, you know, one extreme. But we could go to the other as a teenager, you know, ooh, you know, they tell me that to be a top model or a gymnast, I need to be under 100 pounds or 110 pounds. As they're growing up, it's stupidity. As in, I mean, what, now I'm going to need to stop eating? Now I'm not going to exercise? I'm not going to touch a weight in fear to become Arnold Schwarzenegger? You know, no, it's like it takes time. It takes a lot of dedication to really get bulky, you know? So it's to really understand the process of, I want to get lean, I want to lose some weight, I want to lose some fat. Let's talk about more what's a healthy ratio for lean body mass and fat mass. Let's talk about hormones. Let's talk about vitality. You know, what are you actually trying to do, you know, as a female, you know? Mm-hmm. That's where we developed more the question, as in it's you now that needs to understand all that for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A while back, I remember Sharon Preet, you know Sharon quite well.
Yeah.
She's been on our podcast twice. Sharon's awesome. And so she actually works and helps a few clients here at our facility. So Sharon, years ago, I think I was in California, probably at a big dog competition, and maybe you were probably there in San Diego. She spoke and she had said, a client needs to define their values, and then they need to define their fitness goals and health goals centered on their values. And so if their values, for example, are their children, they need reasons to want to be healthy for their children, right? So fitness and health should be a motivator to a level that supports them being a good parent and living a long life for their children. You know, years ago, we had a client that she was a mom. Her kid was on the ski team, and she had to walk to the top of the ski hill to see the start, but getting to the top was really hard. And so her child was one of her top values. And so now fitness, she can see the correlation. So for people listening, you need to correlate being healthy and strong to your top values. You need to find that. Here's another example. We had a college professor come in for a consultation, and he was an author. He did a lot of writing. He was into history. But when he would sit for more than an hour or two at a time, his back would hurt. So he hired us to get rid of his back pain. And so then he could write longer. And so that's, I think, so important. If someone isn't disciplined or motivated with their health and fitness goals, you're not linking it to what's most important to you. Now, anything other than being like a drug addict, right? Anything that is your value, any value, being healthy supports that. So you need to find that connection.
Look, I have two more examples. One, another, Dan, basically the trend is fasting, and basically he needs more energy. He needs to be a little bit more, muscular, but he's not eating throughout the day. And he has three kids. Now let's link it together. How can you set up an example as a human being, as a father, as a role model, and teach your kids that you need to nourish their body? If you're not having breakfast, if you're not having lunch, and you're just cranky all day until, you get to dinner and now you're devouring everything. What kind of, relationship with food and, actions are you giving to your own kids? Because they're seeing that, right? Or you're on the go and grabbing, a Pop-Tarts just because you're late and you didn't wake up early enough to have those moments for nourishment to share with your family. So that's one. And just like you said, what is the relationship? That's with the relationship with the nutrition. Now you're connecting with, what time do I go to bed? What time do I wake up? What is my morning routine like? Can I have time, or do I make time to prepare myself and my family for success? Right? Mm-hmm. That's where the education process becomes. Like, if you miss that day, it's not about discipline. It's not about, being, obsessive about it. Now it's because you're relating it with your daily lifestyle, and now you're making it a bigger purpose. Mm-hmm. Second one. Mm-hmm. I was coaching a Tibetan monk, and just like your writer, he was saying that he couldn't pray for more than 7-8 hours in a row because his back was hurting. And that's where we go to the spiritual level, as in he's so much into his spirituality and the prayers and all of that, which is amazing, but his physical body is preventing it to go even deeper into that. It's disturbing his connection. So, that's where... You could be a Tibetan monk, you could be a dad, you could be a mom, you could be like me when I used to be an athlete and compete in, the CrossFit regionals, where my goal was to be in the competition floor and be 100% there, able to perform without any regrets, as in, ooh, if I would have not partied, maybe I would have done better. Or if I had not, had that beer, maybe I would have done better. No, that's not even part of the equation. I'm there. The night before the first day of the regionals, I was in the hotel and someone pulled the fire emergency. Oh. It was like 11 o'clock at night. Everybody was out and it was like a shit show. I slept like 4 hours. I got to the competition floor and I was like, look, it is what it is. I prepared the entire year for this. And actually, that was my best year. So... it is what it is. At the moment I was in peace with that, and all the decisions that I was making throughout the year, as in no going for parties, being careful with or being aware of my nourishment, being mm-hmm. disciplined with my trainings, because I was there Friday, Saturday, Sunday doing simulations. No one was there on Sunday evening cheering me up, but when the moment of shine was there, I was there and everybody was there and everything kind of made sense. And since that moment, that's where, we're able to build up from that, because you're an athlete one time, then something comes up. And, that's where we need to be aware of how life evolves, and even ourselves. Okay, now your mom that can climb up the hill to see his kid, compete. Awesome. Is this sustainable? Is this fulfillment for now? What is going to happen once his kid is going to be older and do something else, go to the Olympics, if he continues with that or not? And if not, who cares? It's really about more now at this time about her. What is the mm-hmm. next step that she needs to go further? Or is, if it's working and it's sustainable, awesome, embrace it. That's part of the process. We can change ourselves in other ways.
Yeah, the why changes, right? That's what you're getting at. Like your why and your values change as time goes on, and they should. And giving yourself permission for them to change is huge too. So that makes this goal setting exciting. There's a few things here before we jump in, because we got quite a few things to get to. I want to add in that, like, if you're in a rut, like a fitness rut, maybe you are generally motivated, but you're in a rut, which we all have, by the way. So you're normal if that happens. I always circle back and I check to make sure that, like, the training that I'm doing, I am enjoying. I think that's really, really important. Now, if you are an athlete, okay, because there's a difference. You and I have talked about this a lot, but, like, athletes have a goal, it's mono-focused, right? Like, it's probably not that enjoyable a lot of the times. Like, it's very different than being a healthy adult that is a non-athlete, right? And so I make sure that my fitness workouts and what I'm doing, I am enjoying, okay? It could be biking, it could be running, it could be grappling, it could be swimming, it could be strength training, but I make sure that I'm enjoying that. The next is with healthy foods, you know, if I'm gravitating towards foods that maybe aren't the best choices, I'm making sure that I'm eating enough of the things that I do enjoy, say sweet potatoes and steak, right? Egg omelets. Like, I'm probably at that point in time not eating enough of the things I enjoy. So, you know, I go back to, you shouldn't be eating healthy food just for healthy food's sake if you're not enjoying it at some level. Okay. So there needs to be some kind of give there. And then lastly, if my motivation to move and eating healthy drops, I look at other areas of my life where stress is being produced, right? So if something's out of alignment somewhere, and I don't want to work out and I don't want to necessarily prepare healthy food, there's something out of balance somewhere. So if that helps any of the listeners, and Mazar, if you want to add anything to that, you know, fitness ruts are normal.
Yeah, and I was going to say, it depends on the rut, because you could be in a really, 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 really deep rut and actually feel like you're in a black hole. Mm-hmm. There's no real direction. There's no real light. You know, and I can think of, for example, yes, athletes are, I was going to say, are lucky because they've had the exposure and the discipline to get to a high level. So they really know the stages of, you know, okay, this is balanced, this is sustainable, this is pushing a bit the boundary, and this is kind of like overreaching. Mm-hmm. So we know those cycles as in, okay, now recovery phase and so forth, you know. So that's important, because with discomfort, you also know how to recover, and it's part of the self. Let's talk about someone that has zero experience in fitness, that reaches those high levels of stress, lack of sleep, and really gets into a rut, as in increased weight significantly, has zero libido, you know, kind of gets into depression mode. What now? You know, injured my left knee because I slipped or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. That's where we need to be conscious of. Sometimes we feel that we need to go to the extremes to go back to a nerve or a normal status. And what we fail to acknowledge is that we actually need to go through a healing process before we can go to an actual, a vitality point. And sometimes that healing process can be as simple as recognizing that you're in a rock, recognizing that you need help, and recognizing that you're not even aware that you need help or how to start or where to start. And sometimes by just throwing a stick up in the ceiling, hoping that it sticks, is not enough. Because then you try something, it doesn't work, you get even more discouraged, you even get deeper into the rut because it asks you for even more of your vitality or vital energy, and you just fail because you push too much the boundary. Like, for example, an overweight guy that has never trained, now it's in a starvation mode because he's cutting down 300-400 calories and he's not eating anything throughout the day, but yet he's already burning out. So you feel the drift, right? You know, you're just getting deeper and deeper into the hole. And next thing you know, you go back to those food that you truly enjoy, a McDonald's and a burger and, you know, a cookie and a cake. And it's just a reverse, you know, 5-10 steps backwards. And that's where, first of all, recognizing, look, I really don't know where I'm at, and I don't really know how to get out of here. So ask for help. You know, who are individuals that, first of all, you trust to have this conversation, as in, look, yes, I want to lose weight. You know, yes, I'm in a rut. I'm like, I don't know, psychologically, energy, you know yourself too, you know, as a human being, you're, you know, a happy human being. You know, we have these qualities or these values of these ways of being that belong to us. You know, it's if you're joking all the time and now you're into this dark mode, okay, what's going on? You know, if, I don't know, let's say your dog passed away or, you know, you lost your job, I can understand that. You know, there's a healing process. There's a moment of like internalize what just happened, you know, like live it because you're a human being. So you have emotions. So it's not correct to just, okay, shove it down the throat and it doesn't exist. No, you know, how you need to express it, if it's by going for a walk, if it's by, I don't know, stress, energy, it's part of energy in motion and we need to do something with it. Right? Ignoring it is not good.
So that healing process, because I think that a lot of people should focus on that maybe before they set some serious health and fitness goals, because the healing process almost seems like it's an intermediate, right? So like what are some examples, just generalized examples of if someone was in that phase in their life? You had mentioned like reaching out to someone and talking, like what other examples do you have for people that are in that healing process?
A good question. It really depends where they're at. You know, my feel is that we stretch the elastic band too much. And sometimes it may just mean that, look, I need to shut it down, turn off the computer, go outside, lay on the grass and enjoy the sun and do some deep breathing. You know, just that brings you some balance and some calmness. Awesome. Maybe that's what you need to do 2 times a day and the next week. You know, maybe that's your fitness routine for the day or for the week, or call it mental routine, or I don't know how to call it, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's a massage that you need to have in order for you to calm down and release those stresses that you have on the shoulder because, I don't know, you have extra stress at work. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you actually do need that, catering service to alleviate some pressure at home because you come back from work and you're exhausted and you have nothing to eat. You know, maybe that's where we need to be into, look, let's allow you some moment. Call in for in work for being sick and sleep in Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. You know, maybe that's what you actually need to do. Go for a walk. You know, take an ice bath, go into a sauna. You know, what are the things that you do in order to take care of yourself truly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that... Maybe you disagree with me, I'm not sure, but the majority of people don't have the intuition to know how to heal correctly. Do you agree?
Yeah. 100%. We're disconnected from that. That's where we go back to an athlete mode. You know, that's the only thing we know. If you want to be healthy, you need to crush your head onto the wall. You know, no pain, no gain. Starve yourself to death and you'll be healthy. You'll be happy. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll have the vitality that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily.
No, that like you and I could do a whole separate conversation on that. We'll move on, but it is a really deep, the recovery healing piece is really deep stuff. And it leads to more motivation, longer sustainability with training, higher levels of happiness. Like it really is a huge step to achieving your goals. And so, yeah, maybe we'll do that down the road. Really just do an episode on that.
Just to finish on this one, there's a difference between training and movement.
Yeah.
What we need to be understandful is that the same difference between nutrition and nourishment, or like a diet and nourishment. So movement to me and nourishment are key for the healing process. Training and diet not necessarily need to be significant of performance, but could be a bit more detail into how to go into performance. Those in mind, as into the recovery process, we need movement, we need nourishment, and we need rest and recover. And I feel that's where, depending on where you are in the rut, we need to be connected as into where do I need to be into that stage of recovery and healing. Because someone that is really, really deep into stress levels, burnout, you know, low libido, low testosterone, not sleeping, at night and at 3 o'clock in the morning being awake. Those need like a vacation in the jungle and, no electronics and nothing else to work, just to be connected with them and, reconnect with the body, having some massages, enjoying the sun, going for walks and, relearning how to recognize appetite, recognize being hungry and, learn how to cook, just the basic skills of being human being.
Yes, a lot of what you're circling back to in your responses with this topic are what James taught us years ago, the three H's, the happy, horny, hungry.
Yes.
Yeah. So like I've talked about this in the past in the podcast, not a lot, but it's actually something I do daily, like multiple times a day. Like I check in with the three H's, happy, hungry, horny. And for people, male and female, I know there's varying degrees with those, but if you're an agitated asshole, something's wrong. If you have no sex drive at all, something's wrong. And if you don't have an appetite for good food, like you're hungry periodically throughout the day and you want satiation, you've got a problem. And so, I check in with those daily, and it dictates my training. It dictates my habits and patterns for that day. If I wake up and two out of the three H's are off and I was supposed to run 10 miles, maybe going to do some light strength training and a sauna session and call it a day, but that meter of like awareness is real. It's rare. And that's why people need a coach. Like I'm not pushing our services, but I am because we all have coaches and guidance, and mentors. And so it's really hard to dial that in yourself.
Look, like what you said at the beginning of the conversation, but with regards of the awareness, do you have the awareness? Awesome. Keep it up. Do you lack that awareness? Then how can you have it? The eye cannot see itself and the knife cannot cut itself. You need something external to help you grow from there. And one more thing that I would add into your triple H's, I would add also sleep. That's a big one too, the quality of your sleep. And you know if you wake up without an alarm and if you wake up and you're rested.
Yeah.
If you need like 5 or 10 snoozes before you can actually get out of bed.
Yeah.
If you need 5 coffees before you can actually start thinking. So.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's going to actually lead into this question here. Native Path has been a podcast sponsor of ours since day one. And it's because our clients feel amazing using their supplements. While a lot of products on the market today contain useless fillers and incorrect dosages, Native Path holds to a higher standard. Native Path's ingredients are sourced from only the highest quality, properly combined nutrients, all while being offered at competitive prices. Use code COMO15, that's COMO15 at checkout, and receive 15% off each order. Lombardi Chiropractic has been CoMovement's trusted chiropractor for the last 14 years. They have worked with hundreds of our clients, and I can confidently say they have the most knowledgeable and holistic approach to care that I have ever seen. Whether you suffer from migraines, low energy, nagging pain, or just simply want to improve your overall health, I highly recommend contacting the team at Lombardi Chiropractic. Mention the CoMovement Gym podcast and receive 50% off your initial consultation and x-rays. Here at CoMovement, we put a lot of energy into helping you become happy, healthy, and strong. But we're not the only ones needing a good workout. That's why A Dog's Day Out is the best place in Central New York for your pet to spend their day. Your dog will be as happy and healthy as you when you let them run, play, and socialize instead of just sitting on the couch waiting for you to come home. Give your dog the active day out that they deserve. Mention this podcast and get a free day of doggy daycare at A Dog's Day Out. It says, if you could focus on only one health change, what would it be?
Oof, the water.
And I know, as a disclaimer, you and I know we look at this as like one big cyclical piece that integrates together, right? But people that don't think like that still think segmented, and that's fine because that's where they're at.
Yeah.
But so let's break it down into like a segment for someone that, like, if we could only, like, out of everything, right? You could choose one thing to do correctly for the next, you know, year to 5 years. What would it be?
Yeah, I was going to go, because we're talking about movement and fitness, I was going to say daily movement. Mm-hmm. Be aware of your daily movement. And the reason is simple. It's because I feel that in today's world, we're more sedentary than ever. And we lack daily steps. If we want to start with daily steps, you know, 10,000 daily steps. You know, during COVID, it was fantastic because we could measure actually the sedentarity of people. Mm-hmm. Most of us were walking between 2,000 to 3,000 steps, which is nothing. Yep. You know, and even today, you know, in 2024, I see people working from home and walking less than that. So only movement is when they come to the gym 2 to 3 times a week, which is nothing. You know, it's already better, you know, but if I had to put a number or something, would be movement, because that would also make a chain effect, as into hydration, as in nourishment, as in, you know, energy expenditure, body composition, sleep quality, with force awareness and all of the other things. Because if I'm not moving, I don't need fuel.
Yeah.
To repair my muscles, I don't need to have that hormone, endorphins, and so forth.
Like, that's a great answer. And it's funny, it actually just twisted my mind a little bit in a good way. My answer was sleep. But the way that you answered that is very, very insightful. If you're moving every day appropriately, you're probably going to most likely sleep better or have better sleep habits because of your energy expenditure, and your appetite for hopefully nourishing foods will regulate. So you're putting movement and exercise first, appropriate movement and exercise first. Let's get that clear. I had sleep as an answer. I think sleep is paramount. With shitty sleep, everything does suck. But you're sort of coming at it from another angle. That's really cool. Really, really interesting.
I feel it because, I guess Japanese proverb, the stiff is dead, movement is alive. And it goes back to even, for example, digestion. I had a couple of people coming in and being like, yeah, I can't go to the bathroom for 2 or 3 days. I'm like, wow. And I go back to movement as in, okay, you're not exercising. Okay, I can see, you know, digestive system and all of that. But at the same time, I go back to the nutrition. Mm-hmm. Okay, you don't put anything into your mouth. How do you expect that, you know, like, it's, let's simplify it. It's the hose coming down. If there's nothing coming down, nothing's coming out.
So true.
You know, okay, you're fasting 8, 12 hours, nothing came down, and now you're expecting to go to the bathroom? Come on.
Yeah.
Now you're, you know, indulging in everything that your body can. It's going to make just a big, like, clog. Now you're going to be sitting there for 2 or 3 days. Oh, my God, that's painful.
Yeah.
You start the motion as in, okay, let's start walking a bit. Cool. Now I'm thirsty. Drink some water. Cool. At least you're creating some flow there. Now you're okay, now I'm hungry a bit. Okay, let's eat something. And, you know, even at the end of the day, okay, now I'm tired. Now I can fall asleep. Otherwise, you're wired and you can't fall asleep. On top of that, you're on your Instagram and Netflix and all of that until 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You're not waking up.
Yeah.
5 alarms, you know?
Yeah, it's you nailed it. You keep bringing up, walking is beneficial. And I think it's overlooked. I talked about this maybe the last podcast. I had Dave Durrani on from Power Monkey Fitness. Mm-hmm. He's second time for him too. And super cool guy. We're friends. And but walking gets overlooked. This isn't part of a question anyone has, but I just wanted to hit on it quick. Like, don't overlook the benefits of walking. One of the things that I prescribe to clients that come in here that have a significant amount of weight to lose and they're looking maybe at just exercise as the solution is I have them walk 10 miles a week. And then focus on food and sleep and the other homework that we give them. But we're not going to overcomplicate the exercise in the beginning. Like if you've got 80 pounds to lose, and you're walking 0 miles for exercise per week, adding those 10 miles in is going to significantly change your life for the better. So do you see some similar on your end as far as walking as a prescription?
I feel it's the lowest entry movement that you can give to someone. Yeah. Because I mean, if you can't walk, then we need to have even a more deeper conversation as into how do we help you get out of that rut. Mm-hmm. If you're 500 pounds, I can totally see that you have problems walking for more than 10 minutes. And that's fine. We still need to, okay, whatever happened in the past, let's heal that process, you know, psychological help or whatever. We need to do the steps to grow from that. But as of today, sometimes they're just having troubles to get up and down their chair. So that's where maybe we do need those curl machines and hamstring, you know, developers. And you're going to do that 3 sets of 10 and call it the day, take some water, go back into your wheelchair or whatever way of you're moving. Mm-hmm. Let's come back tomorrow or the next day. And that's it until we can actually walk 5 minutes. You know, are you good to go into the pool? Awesome. Let's do some laps or just actually walk into the pool and take it step by step. If that's, you know, your level where you're at, you know, I was going to say a mom of two, you know, and you can go for a walk at noon after your lunch. Awesome. Take advantage of that because you're coming back home and now it's going to be, you know, taking the kids from daycare, making them lunch and doing homework or whatever you need to do, you know, doing dishes, doing laundry and, you're going to go 2 hours at the gym. If you do have assistance from your husband and, you know, good, look, honey, I take care of it, go to the gym and next day it's going to be myself. Let's do that. Yeah. It's important for us as human beings. You know, we can be a higher level parents and, you know, we're not going to kill each other because, you know, we have so much stress in our shoulders and we can actually communicate and, you know, be transparent with each other and support each other.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So we spent a good amount of time on two questions, but I figured we would, which is good. Let's dive into the third. It says, for general strength and endurance training, where do I start?
Who are you?
How old are you? I knew you were going to say that.
Keep it simple. Keep it simple and grow every day, every week from where you're at. For example, if you're a beginner and you have troubles doing a plank, then let's start there. 30-second plank times two. If you have trouble doing 30 seconds, maybe do 20, then rest, and then do another 20, and then build from that. If you're able to do one pull-up, maybe try to do two. Rest a bit and do two more. If you have access to actually weights, awesome. You know, maybe start with a 5-pound dumbbell doing curls and shoulder press and bench press. And then the next week you can try 8 pounds or 10 pounds. You know, if you're a teenager, take advantage of those hormones and that growing. Eat well and exercise regularly with good form. Lots of tempo, I would say, good control. I like the tempo because it forces control. It forces quality of motion. As opposed to try to go fast and explosive, like, you know, the trend tends to be into the a la CrossFit. You know, it does has its space. I do believe in high intensity work too, but not for everybody and not for strength development either.
So yeah, that you, you started that off with the answer I thought you would give. Who are you? Like, it's not a generalized answer, right? There's a million individuals types you could be from injury, you know, history to age to training age to stress levels to body weight, right? Your athlete essence, you know, like there's so much that goes into those prescriptions that there is no blanket statement for that, you know. You need an assessment from a professional. And if you can't get that, then if I had to give a blanket answer, I would say to work on stability first. you know, isolated holds, you know, planks, air squat holds, hanging, overhead dumbbell holds, chest to wall handstand holds if you're there, hollow body holds, arch holds, like work on just basic stability. I'm amazed at the number of people that we see that, you know, have somewhat of an athletic background, but in some of these movements I just named, their stability is quite poor. And so if you can't stabilize, you really can't move significant amounts of weight safely. And I also think that stability, and I'll put balance in there. Balance is very, very important. Grip strength. But yeah, it is a blanket answer focused on stability and getting wicked strong with stability and then see what happens from there.
Agree, 100%.
Yeah. Okay, let's see here. How much of a role do genetics play when it comes to muscle development and physical health?
I think sometimes it's a bit overrated, the genetics. Yes, it does has a big part to play. Let's say if we want to go to the Olympics or you want to become Mr. Olympia. If you're gifted, you're gifted. And no matter if you're eating all the broccoli and all the protein and you're going to bed at 8 and, you know, all the right steps that you need to do in order to succeed, you know, the legends are legends for a reason. Yep. Oh, and that's it. But for you to become a legend, unless you have all that life path and, you know, you're really making those decisions and you're accountable for your own actions, you know, there's only one way to know it, right?
Mm-hmm. You know? One piece I wanted to throw in there from like a genetic piece, and you can tell me what you think about this, but like body types. And so ectomorphs, endomorphs, and mesomorphs. And I know that no one clearly falls into just one bucket. But like for me, I am a ectomorph. I'm taller and thinner and better at endurance-based events. I have mesomorph in me at some level because I can put on 10 pounds of muscle. If I cut out endurance training and I eat more and just strength train heavy, I can jump up pretty quick. But for me to go from 170 to 215 without steroids, and even with steroids, I don't know if that would be possible, would be very hard for me and my body type. And so what are your thoughts on that, Mazar?
Well, now we're mixing apples and pears with regards to, for example, performance as you being an endurance guy, because I could find a lot of people that are short, chubby, and yet can be really good at endurance sports, right? Now, if we're talking about genetics, as in I'm 5 feet two and I'm trying to make it to the NFL, or sorry, which one is the basketball one?
NBA.
NBA, thank you.
Yeah.
So if I'm trying to become the best basketball guy and I'm 5 feet two, or if I'm a gymnast and I'm 4 feet eight, you know, for sure, genetics have something to do. Now we're talking about awareness, as in if I want to go to a high level of swimming, you know, I better be tall and skinny with broad shoulders, as opposed to if I want to be a wrestler, you know, if I have long limbs and, you know, big neck, careful, right? Yeah, I mean, for sure, genetics are going to have a big effect as into how I put on lean body mass. But I feel still that there's a lot of excuses as into that's not my genetics, so I cannot be conscious of my nourishment. You know, I cannot be conscious and take accountability of those things. Because up to a point, no, maybe you're not going to be to, you know, 7% fat. But fuck, if you actually do, you know, are, I guess, in line with your own goal of leaning out, maybe you can get to 10%. Mm-hmm. You're not going to win that bodybuilder contest, but it doesn't matter. Or at least that's where we go back to question one. What is the goal?
Yeah.
You know, at 5 feet four, I was competing in CrossFit, you know, and James was pretty honest. You will never make it to the CrossFit Games. Are you good with that? I'm like, I don't care. I just want to get the better, physical athleticism that I can get for myself. That means I need to work on my strength because I'm a gymnast and I have great gymnastics, so I don't need to be worrying about keeping pull-ups and butterfly muscle-ups. I know I'm never going to win a weightlifting event in CrossFit. And I've done weightlifting events, I guess, as just weightlifting to compare myself with myself and people in my category. Same idea with, jiu-jitsu. I've done jiu-jitsu competitions at my weight category, and I can tell you that I'm in top of the line as in body weight strength ratio. No one can take me down. Mm-hmm. Where I lack is experience and technique. So all those young kids, I competed as a 41-year-old in the males division. So you have the 20-year-old jumping around. Amazing to see their potential. Anyway, long story short, I lost my points. I got swept. I swept them back. And that made me realize that it's not my strength that is my weakness. It's my technique and my experience.
Sure.
So blessed to be there to be able to experiment and learn about what are the things that I need to focus in order to become better. That's where, let's remove the genetics because I understand the whole point. As in, yes, genetics are going to have a big effect on that. Is this realistic? Is this truth? And, even though it's not realistic for me to go to the games, I didn't care because my intent was another one. To be able to be on the competition floor and do the best that I could, despite knowing that I was not going to win top three. So
that's a great point. I agree completely. There shouldn't really be a focus on the genetic piece as opposed to how am I optimizing who I am to the fullest potential. Like when James asked you asked you, is it okay that, you're okay with not being able to go to the CrossFit Games based on XYZ metrics? You were fine with that because you wanted to optimize and fulfill your potential fully. And I think that should be the key goal for people. If you're 5'2" and you really love rowing, you're not going to be a great rower. It's just leverage, and you should be 6'2" and, 190. But if you want to maximize rowing for you, that's great. And I think that's, what more people should focus on as opposed to genetically I'm this and I can't do this. I don't think that's the right attitude.
I agree. If you enjoy it, go for it. You may be 6 feet tall and wanted to do diving. Maybe you're not going to be the best in going to the Olympics, but enjoy it, man. They deserve the thrill. Same idea. Martial arts. Sometimes you're rolling with 200-pound guys, and I'm 140. What do you want me to do? My best.
Best at all times. Full effort is full victory, right? All right. Let's see here. Okay. So 3 books that you currently recommend to listeners.
The Atomic Habits. That's a good one. We're talking about, how can I change my perspective or my awareness? 12 Rules of Life by Jordan Peterson. I actually enjoy that. And it really brings a step-by-step as in, okay, I want to do this. Cool. Let's start somewhere. Where is that somewhere? With yourself. Because you can't change the world if, even with your own daily actions, you're off. So it gives you a little awareness as into how to move forward. And I really enjoy also The Freedom of the Known, Krishnamurti. Another one where it goes back to the whys. Ask questions and, for yourself, how you answer them, because there's no right answer.
Yeah. What was that last one? Freedom of the Known?
Freedom from the Known.
From the Known. Okay. And that I remember, Mazar, and this goes way back. You told myself and my sister, Jessica, about Krishnamurti as an author and a philosopher. And I've read quite a bit of his stuff. And yeah, so if people really want to go down the rabbit hole, I don't know how to spell it. I know it starts with a K. Do you know how to spell it accurately?
Question, no.
Yeah. Okay.
I can give you another one. Eckhart Tolle. The New Earth. So that too is a good one. Again, similar as into how they're thinking and their
Eckhart Tolle is amazing. A New Earth. That had a significant impact on me years ago. So yeah, those are good. Yeah. I'm gonna add 3. Outlive by Peter Attia. That's a new one. Basic, nothing super in depth, I don't think. But for most people, it's gonna be 500 pages of pretty good information. There's an agriculture book that isn't so much about just agriculture, about society as a whole, but it's called Folks This Ain't Normal by Joel Salatin from Polyface Farms. That book was great. And then a history book that is also a philosophy book by Neil Howell, The Fourth Turning Is Here. And I think that can help people do some, you know, some planning in terms of their goals moving forward. So, yeah. All right. So let's finish up this conversation with a few questions here. First off, tell our listeners about your facility, OPEX Montreal. You and I have a lot in common with how we run things and from a business standpoint. But just tell me, what is OPEX Montreal?
Yeah, OPEX Montreal is basically focusing on individuals. You know, we're assisting individuals that want to grow, that want to evolve. And basically, we're taking them where they're at. We're giving them the awareness as into, okay, I want to get stronger. Awesome. What does that mean? You know, what does that even correlate physically? You know, like if you, can you do a push-up? Is that being stronger? Can you do a pull-up? Or we're looking more as into doing a bench press, or, you know, what is the intent of getting stronger, right? And that's where we connect with the actions as in physically. We assist individuals too also into the nourishment. So again, I want to get stronger, but I'm not eating enough. So how can I nourish my body enough of what? You know, enough protein, enough fat, enough carbohydrates? What are the ratios? You know, am I actually taking time to eat my foods? So really educating people to be sustainable human beings, because ultimately I want them to be aware if their job changes, if their goal changes, they know what are the requirements for their own selves. And that's where once you get that level of awareness, it's amazing because they can share with other people what they're doing and just continue growing together. You know, if they can bring people in that we can help them and help them with our own words, because sometimes, you know, that's what you need, you know, husband and wife, I'm telling you to eat more protein. No, 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 no. Then I tell them that they need to eat more protein. No, ooh, yeah. So
yeah,
whatever works for them. So we help them with the movement. We help them with the nourishment, and we help them with also the holistic approach as in the lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about sleep. Awesome. I'm a shift worker and I sleep during the day. Yep. How do I do that? You know, now the shift work changes every 2 weeks. Now it's even more challenging. Now I have two kids that I need to pick up or actually drop off at school in the morning, but yet they finish a night shift. It's, you understand the level of, intricacies where we're here to assist them. There's no one solution fits all. There's no cookie cutter nutrition plan. It's really on a, you know, I guess, individualist approach. You know, the evolution of personal training, because personal training is a one-on-one. You finish your hour, you go home, and then you come back the next week or the next 2 days. And, you know, it's that evolution as in the investment too, because it's everything is included and you have a team of people that guide you through the process, because let's be honest, it's not a 30-day challenge. Maybe that's enough to get an introduction as into, okay, let me settle, let me bring awareness of what are the changes I need to make. And the changes do take time. You know, the changes are, you know, a rehearsal of some days are better than others, some weeks are better than others, but the cumulative approach brings to a bigger plan, and that's where it is sustainable.
Yeah. The individual perspective and approach is, I believe, full-heartedly where it's at. I mean, I have nothing against group classes and like boot camp type settings and stuff, but you have to, as a client, be aware of what you're expecting out of that environment. You know, if the individual side that we go from and you is all encompassing, like you had said, with nourishment, lifestyle, there's an assessment. So you know how you move, not you plus 12 other people doing burpees and box jumps all at one time. Like there's an in-depth analysis with that. There's so much value with individual programming that it's hard to state on here unless, you know, people have experienced that. I'm curious, with your commitment levels and with your business model, how long do people commit for? Do they have a choice? Tell me about that.
Yeah, we have different service offerings. Like, for example, now that we just moved to our new location, we're offering an assessment. That's usually $250. Now it's down to $54. Mm-hmm. The idea is to really have an entry point where we can actually have a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, what is the next step to come? As opposed to, let's do a free trial of what? You know, you want to do snatches, but my shoulder is hurting. You want to do muscle-up, but I can't do a pull-up. You know, my right knee hurts and we're doing lunges and wall balls. So that's our entry, the assessment. Depending on what people decide to do, we have like a 6-week, 12-week, 6 months, and 12 months.
Yep.
This is for the individual to allow them to, let's go back to the whys and what is my true commitment to that why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's be honest, there's also a financial investment.
Sure.
You know, we do need that because we cannot have the same amount of time and effort on each individual if we're doing group classes.
Yep.
Because let's be honest, a group class, you have 20 people and barely you tell them their name and hi and help them put their equipment in and 3, 2, 1, go, as opposed to have these higher order conversations where we can go deeper and deeper, and same idea with the coaching through the movement. So having said this, I believe it's actually the evolution of having the private trainer because you have all the composing all of the components necessary for you to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what I've seen is individuals that are not clear into their goals are going to go for, let's say, 3 months to allow themselves to feel the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's a bit more of a higher investment because, you know, yes, they're not, there's a risk for them, but, you know, we're sharing the risk as in, okay, I like it, I'll try for 3 months, a bit more pricey. Once they actually truly see the value of what we're doing and understanding that is a process, because that's the whole point. I'm not here to tell you that, you know, in 3 weeks, you're going to have your six pack and, you know, you're going to be lean like a dry bacon. And, you know, that's not the point. You know, the point is to understand, look, you're here. And these are the different steps that for now you're able to start changing. Because if I give you a meal plan where you need to weigh your food and now we're doing snatches and burpees, but your shoulder is still, you know, messed up, it does require time for you to wake up early, cook breakfast, have lunch, have dinner, and so forth. So what I see is that people either take the assessment and then they move on to the 3 months, and then they move on to the 12 months.
And yep.
Now that's where they become reoccurring members, as in, you know, as part of the community. They realize we go back to what are the things we need in order for us to thrive, not survive. And that's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned sleep, that's a big one. We mentioned movement, we mentioned nourishment. And, you know, the rest one is what? Having a mental, I guess, effort. Or sharing with the community, having a higher purpose than us, you know, or if it's you because you're preparing for whatever, something higher that you're going to be able to sharing with the community or with the world, that's awesome, you know, but that's part of the, I guess, the holistic approach. You can't just be training all day and just,
Yeah, that's good to hear. We do something similar. We do an 8-week it's called a Healing Humans program where we give like a bunch of free resources in addition to 8 weeks of 2-time-a-week personal training. And we don't really have too many jump on that. We have mostly 6 and 12 month commitments right out of the gate. And that's because I sell that hard. The rate is slightly cheaper because we have you for longer. But also realistically, like even a 3-month program, like it's 12 weeks, you know? So if you're doing 2 times a week personal training, it's 24 sessions and 1 to 2 of those is an assessment. And then 2 or 3 of those is getting to know you. And so now we're down to 18 sessions and, you know, realistically, like where are you starting from? Like, if you haven't exercised in 8 years, like, do you think 24 sessions is, you know, going to really make a big dent, you know, in that? So I have those conversations and I'm very open with people and I respect it. You know, if you want to do 8 weeks and leave, that's fine. But we do see, I would say 80% of our clients start with the 6 to 12 months.
Yeah. I mean, and I go back to the goals. You know, when we are clear with the goals, when you're clear with the investment, then it's a no-brainer. I agree with you. You know, that's where we have these options.
Yeah. All right. Final question. I'm curious. This is me asking you a question. What's your average week of fitness training look like for you personally? What are you doing nowadays?
Okay. Now it's an exception because I dislocated my pinky while doing jiu-jitsu. So it's a bit challenging with my pinky. But before that, I used to do 2 times a week jiu-jitsu. Mondays, gi, and Fridays, no gi. And the rest of the week would be more of a strength bias. And on Wednesdays, more of a aerobic bias training. Saturday would be my day off. And Sunday, we do an active recovery. And let's put this into quotes because active recovery means, you know, depending on the individual. For me, right now, we discovered free diving. So it's been an amazing journey. The class that we're following, it's called the Zen Flow, where it's more geared towards learning the practice into a non-competitive environment. So that means that we have like guided the breathing sessions at the beginning. Then we practice skills as into, you know, turns, how to kick underwater, breathing up, preparation for breathe up. And, you know, once you get out of the water, how do you breathe, you know, to control your breathing. And basically what I find when I get out of the water of that session, it's like, I was going to say yoga, active meditation, you name it. You're in the water, lights are down, you're flowing, you know, you're like, la, la, la.
So you said free diving, right? So this is extended breath holds. You're swimming either the length of a pool for distance or a deep vertical, right?
Right.
Okay. So this is really cool. I don't do this, but when I did my co-movement Costa Rica retreat there before COVID, we had like 18 people go down to Costa Rica with us, all clients. Actually, no, not all clients, mostly clients, a few guests. One of them was a free diver. And he introduced me in like the free time of the retreat into the routines, the breathing routines. And there was an app called Free Diver. And I stayed with that for a good year after just doing the breathing routines. I was not swimming. I was not diving, but just extended breath holds. And I worked up to almost 4 minutes of laying on my back. But it's cool that you're into that. So I just watched, did you see the documentary on Netflix, yes, with the free diving? That was freaky as shit, dude.
I know. Well, we did the introduction, course to free diving and, basically part of the test, you need to go down to 16 meters. I was able to get only, 13 meters because I wasn't able to, compensate with the pressure. And then we're looking at the documentary and they're going 105, 110 meters.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when you realize that, like, what the. So I can tell you that I'm not genetically gifted for that.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because the pool that I swim in, after I watched a documentary, I dove down to the bottom on the deep end, which I think is like 12 feet. And that wasn't hard, but like my ears popped and like I was uncomfortable, right? Like, and I'm thinking they're going like 315 feet down.
Yes,
that's cool. But that's all right, dude. Let's wrap up because I know you have a hard stop. I think we're at an hour. How can first off, thank you for taking the time. We're going to get you back on. I want to get into that healing process at some point. I think that's a cool conversation. I'm a huge fan of everything you're doing. So, how can listeners learn more about you and your facility?
Yeah, opexmontreal.ca. or Mizar at opexmontreal.ca or Instagram, Facebook, all of those. Maybe I can share you my links and we can post them in there. Yeah, feel free. I'm here. Questions, if you have questions, whatever, you know, it's going to be a pleasure for me to assist you step by step. And if people need help, I can do remote coaching. Or if they want to come and meet in person in Montreal, mi casa es su casa, I'm more than welcome.
Yeah, that's awesome. We will put those links in the show description, Mizar. Great. All right, we're calling an episode. Thank you, Mizar.
Thank you, Josh.
If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting our sponsors, Native Path Supplements, Lombardi Chiropractic, and A Dog's Day Out Doggy Daycare. They help us bring you two new episodes each month and have a special discount just for our listeners. See the show notes for more details. Thank you, and see you next time on the Co-Movement Gym Podcast.